I'm up. The screen's on. All right. I'm going to put my phone here. I can't see the clock, so if I go really crazy over or anything, just somebody yell at me. Because I used to be able to see that, but it's just a blurry circle back. They put a bigger clock there. I can see it's a bigger circle than it used to be. All right. Well, my name's Ray Toomey, if you don't know who I am. And I've been here at Salem Bible Church since we began, actually. I'm here with Pastor Laney, brought me in when he came here and we started this church. So now I've been with Grace Dental and Medical Missions since we began. I've represented Salem Bible Church on the board of directors since we began the ministry in 1996. I've served on the board, but I've also served on the staff. I used to do a lot of the accounting and bookkeeping in the office. Dr. Mitchell used to say, because I'm legally blind, and I have been since 1998, it was the only mission in the country with a blind accountant. So, but I don't know if he said that to be funny or what, but I did the accounting until I couldn't see the numbers anymore. The sixes and the eights started to rebel. They wouldn't identify themselves anymore. So I could not, I can't do the accounting. Mike Vedder and I were talking about computer screens, and I can no longer easily see when I do Microsoft Word, I can't read the little lines up the top, so I'm using the magnifier now. So thank the Lord for technology as well here. Now, I didn't know Dr. Steve and his wife would be here tonight, but I'm going to put their pictures up there, because I just wanted to connect the mission that I'm working with to these other works as well. Grace Dental and Medical Mission has served in more than 20 countries throughout the world. And as you know, Dr. Steve and his wife have worked our clinic in Benin. They spent 3.5 years, if I got that right, over there. Trained the staff over there. Just a marvelous work that God has done, where the gospel is being preached. Like when we do the short-term trips, like I'm sharing here, we have an impact for 8 or 10 or 12 days, or we had 5 days down there. But that clinic, it's day in and day out the word of God is being preached. And that is just a marvelous thing. It's been a thrill to be on the board and to work, to see that, to God do that work. And so if you don't know Dr. Steve, say hello to him and Katrina. We just love them and the work that God has done through them in the work. And then, of course, I have Tracy's picture up here. Tracy is also from Salem Bible Church. She represents you as well in the work and the missions. I told Tracy, her picture would be up here. I didn't want to be embarrassed her, but I asked her to try to figure how many countries she's been through with us, traveled. Or she's traveled at least 10 countries, probably about half of where we've traveled. Many ones, many times. But so Tracy has been an integral part of our ministry, and not just on mission field as an RN. She's the work that she has done in the office has been invaluable. Supporting the clinic, working with Dr. Steve with the formularies for the medicines in the clinic, getting things together, ordering medicines, preparing for trips. So a lot of work is going on through Salem Bible Church. People who are from this work, representing God, getting the gospel out. We do medical and dental work to see that the gospel be preached, and that's what our goal is. We are not going off on the humanitarian work. We do that. We are very happy to see people have nicer smiles or have less pain or something like that. But what we want to see is that they hear the gospel of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're working with as well. So what I've been involved in, since 1998, we've been going down to Hermosillo, Mexico. It is a very dusty, large industrial town in Mexico. We have not gone every year, but most years we've been there since 1998. I've lost track of how many times I've done that ministry. I don't know if I could even figure it out. Sometimes we've done two in a year, but normally we do at least one. And it was mostly just dental in the beginning, but recently we've done dental and medical. So Tracy has been there as well with us on our teams down there as well. Just to let you know where it is in the world. If you've been to Phoenix, Arizona, and then you just head south. If you're in Phoenix, Arizona, you take I-10. It's actually it's an east-west road, but if you leave Phoenix, it's south heading down to Tucson. So you follow down towards Tucson and just keep going, cross Nogales, and keep going straight out. There, Route 15, you'll come right into Hermosillo. It's Sonoran Desert, just like Phoenix. Phoenix is about 1,100 feet above sea level, I think Hermosillo is about 600 or 700 feet above sea level, so it's all high plain desert. The same landscape you'd see in the wilderness of Phoenix, you'll see down in the Sonoran region, and as well. Now, if you've been to Phoenix and you come out of, like, you leave the airport and you're heading south on I-10, Phoenix is a very, very flat. Like, if you look back here, you see, notice how really flat there. It's like flat desert plains. But every so often, if you're leaving Phoenix, you see there's just south of the city, there's this huge rocks that just stick right up out of the ground, and they have all the radio and TV towers on them and stuff. Well, Hermosillo is the same way. And here, this is a picture of Tracy from a previous ministry. She wasn't with us this year. But in the middle of the city, there is this big rock that sticks up like it looks like a volcano. It's not, but just looks like it's just a huge pinnacle that sticks up out of the city. And they have built a road around it so you can go around, like, you've seen the Hanging Tower of Babel or something, or maybe Tower of Babel, where they've had the road going around it. You can drive around and go up there, and they have a restaurant up there, and people go up there on weekends and enjoy themselves. But it gives you a really beautiful view of the city. And here's Tracy's with Mary Chase here, and looking, I believe they're looking like northwest here. If they were looking south, you'd see another mountain. So it has to be north. And you can see there's huge city. The city's big enough to have at least two Walmarts. Walmart is our home base for supplies. They have paper towels, rubber gloves, bottled water. So we're glad to have Walmart there. It's really not wilderness. Like when Dr. Steve went into Benin, he went into a place where they didn't have electricity. That the team before him put in solar power, dug wells, put up a water tank. We don't have to deal with that down there. We stay in a hotel. So it's really not, I've been in some of those mission trips where you're like out of a sleeping bag and, sleeping on the floor or something like that, or an air mattress. We don't do that there. We're professional medical people. I'm not that. But, we have doctors and dentists with us and stuff. And so we're in a city. So it's not, I don't think I'm going down there and roughing it. Because we're not. We're really not. I mean, it's hard work. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like that at all. So there's another picture here. I went the wrong way. Excuse me. I'm left-handed. I do things backwards. For many, many years, we worked with the Bible Institute in Hermosillo. It was called the Ebenezer Practical Institute. That's the English translation of it. And it was actually a training, a bachelor's degree, training people for the ministry. It was like working with getting a bachelor's in ministry or something like that. Now, they now have a seminary there. Now, they've started a lot of churches, and we used to go down and work with them on their missions emphasis week. But in time, we started working with some of the churches that were planted from that. And DDM Missions is we are church planters. We assist those who are planting churches. And we've been working recently with, this is Iglesia Biblica Batania. Batania, this is... that's Bethany Bible Church, just to get that in English. Bethany Bible Church. I speak a little Spanish, but not a tremendous amount. But we started working with Pastor Isaac Alvarez, and he has a very energetic church he's realized that in the Sonoran region around him, there are 50 villages that have no Bible churches. And it's his goal to train men and get them out and start churches there. And we helped start the church that he's in now, that in Bethany Bible Church. We'd go down with the dental ministry and meet in, sometimes they'd just set us up in a little park in the middle of the city. There'd be swings for children and basketball courts and stuff like that. And we'd set up the medical, the dental stuff in the middle of the city and invite people out, and they would get to know people in the neighborhood. And from that, this church was planted. And now they're planting other churches. That's just marvelous to see what God is doing through them. Do you see Adam Polk's name up there? Adam is an American. But he's fluent in Spanish. He has graduated from the Bible Institute, and now he works with this church. And he's very musical as well. He leads a small orchestra. They have violins and flutes and things like that. Just very, very beautiful music when they have their morning services there. But Adam, as well, is a church planter. He was married in January, and they are moving, hopefully, next year, and I'll talk about that a little more. They want to plant a church about 3 hours away from the church he's working with now. Again, the wrong button. Let's go this way, left and not right. Okay. I clipped this picture off of Pastor Isaac's webpage, Facebook page. This is pastor and his wife, Larice. Larice is Lebanese in background. Her family's Lebanese. She grew up in Mexico, speaks fluent Spanish, of course, but also fluent in English. So very, very good, very helpful to us. She's worked as a translator. She's come and worked with us on as well. Now they've trained men and women to do that, so we don't see them quite as often. They come visit every day, but they don't spend as much time out there as well. Now, normally we take a team down there. It's relatively small. We'll have a medical and dental. We're usually 7 to 9 people on a team. This year we had 16. I'll explain it as we go along. I could say it's going to be a circus down there, having 16 people have to handle that. But I explained it as we go along. I explain some of the people as we go along here. Some of these people, you'll know on your see, so that, it must be your left as well, because I'm looking just the opposite way here. So Brian Bell is a single picture there. He's our executive director. Brian directs the team. Brian and his brother-in-law, Colin Ovenell, they were responsible for the clinic ministry physical plant. Brian's a real talented man, and so is Colin. And they designed the place. Spent months over there getting that clinic building built. Just amazing, amazing work. But Brian went with us. He's been going with us to Mexico since like 2007, I think. And he's a real focuses the ministry on church planting, that the gospel is being preached. It's really his focus in life. Now, next to him there is his son, Jared, our newest missionary, Jared Bell. He's recently graduated from Bob Jones University. He's been licensed or ordained or whatever from his local church. He's been hands laid upon him to be a missionary. He's with a missionary with us, and he's engaged to be married to this young lady that's with him. That's Faith Haney. They should be married in July. So it's just a wonderful thing to see this young couple coming to serve the Lord. She has a bachelor's degree in missions ministries as well. So that's three of our team. Here we have Dr. Chuck Hurlburt. You've probably heard of him before. He's on the board of directors at the clinic ministry in Benin. And this man is medical missions to the core. We just love this guy. He's a great doctor, but he's also a great friend and a Christian man. And he just loves to be out there doing medical work for the gospel's sake. He's just a tremendous, tremendous guy. And he likes to play. He has the game Fakal that he plays. He comes back and he plays some sort of a game with everybody in the evening as well. They have an official game. I don't play games, so I go to bed. I explain that a little later. I'm over 70. I get there, we're done. We get back. I can barely get through the supper at night. My nose is in the plate because I'm falling asleep. But you know, that's what happens when you get old. And I don't have any nap time out in the field. If I had a nap, I'd probably be better. He's traveled all over the world doing this, and he'll be traveling with us again in June. This is his wife Beverly with him. She is not a medical person, but has learned a lot about pharmacy. So she will usually handle the pharmacy for us. We have a bunch of medications we give out, and she will handle that as well. The next person you've probably explained to her, if you've listened to me before, we talked about Mary Chase. Mary Chase is a pastor's daughter. She grew up in a church where her father was a pastor, and she's a dental hygienist. She's from Orford, New Hampshire. They have like 300 acres of land up there, past Plymouth, New Hampshire, up north, up that way. Was north that way, I think. Somewhere up in north, up past Plymouth. But she is on fire for the Lord. We just again, Mary is. I say she's a redheaded lady. She proves it. She's just so energetic. She's outgoing, and you know she's holding on to somebody, hugging somebody there. You always see Mary hugging somebody, encouraging somebody, uplifting somebody. She doesn't speak Spanish, a few words, but she doesn't speak Spanish, so she works with a translator when she's doing her work. But that translator works for her has been given a job of a lifetime. They're going to work their tongue off for the day, because Mary does not stop talking all the time. She's got in their mouths, cleaning their teeth. She's giving her testimony. And then she's following up. Everybody, by the way, by the time they come to her, if they're not a believer, they've gone through an evangelism one-on-one before they get there. Well, Mary does the follow-up. If this person didn't get saved, she wants to know why. And she's talking to them, and people have gotten saved in her chair. They have got through evangelism by a one-on-one evangelism and come to her and still hadn't been saved, and she will lead them to the Lord. Mary is just tremendous, just a tremendous woman. She's been with us for well over 10 years. On the right there is Stephen Case. He's a new man with us. He went with us first to Ghana in January. He's a military background, Sergeant E6. He's been in combat. I've been in the Army, so I say, well, I was 11 Bravo. He says, I'm 11 Bravo. Now, if you don't know what that is, then you're not military. That means you're trained infantry. You're a grunt. I was trained as 11 Bravo, so was he. So we talk the same language there. But he goes to the same church as Dr. Hurlburt. And he has just finished his pre-med training. And he's going into medical school with the Army in, I think, July. They will commission him as an officer. He will be a second lieutenant this summer. And he has a real desire to be in medical missions. We're courting this man. Dr. Hurlburt is not as old as I am, but he's aging. We're looking for somebody who can come in medical missions, a good doctor who likes to be in the field. He's slept in a sleeping bag in the Army situations, and he's not afraid to go out to the field. Just a wonderful young man. I roomed with him down there. We had a great time together. Now, there's a picture of a really old guy there bent over. I wouldn't recognize this guy. I can't believe that's me. I look so old in this picture. And I don't feel that from the inside looking out. I look in the mirror. I know who's that old guy in the mirror in the morning. But my job there, Dr. Chuck calls me to PFC there. I'm the patient flow coordinator. He likes me to come. I am, those of you who know me, I'm very organized. So they like me to go. I'm actually legally blind, and I can't always find the patients. I know who should be there. But I'll say number six or something, and somebody would be holding a hand up right in front of me, and I can't see them. Don't they stop? I can't see them. But all the staff knows I can't see, and they always help me out. And they say, hey, that guy's got a ticket over there. And they'll grab the ticket and get the person in. But you notice I'm standing there with a piece of paper in my hand. That's my job all day. I'm on my feet most of the day. I'll explain as we go along here a little bit what I do. I'm usually know which patient should be next. That's my job. Every day when I'm down there as well. Another reason our team was so big was we took three people from Fellowship Christian Academy. Here we have Gloria Machado. She is a Spanish teacher, and she wanted to have some of her students get in a Spanish-speaking environment. So J.C. Luna, the one on my left here, I guess. You must be your left too. Yeah, that'd be right. His family is from Puerto Rico background, so he speaks Spanish fluently. He was a real help. He was bilingual, so he could help us. Aiden Gibson in the middle is a student. He's only studying Spanish, and they came along just to experience what it would be to be in medical missions and in a Spanish-speaking environment. On Sunday, we had an opportunity to go up on that tower and see the city. It's kind of the thing you do if you have a half hour, 45 minutes in the day. I don't go up there anymore. I don't go for walks with these people because the holes find me and I fall in them. I don't see them coming. So I go to Mexico. I want to come back. I don't want to come back with a broken leg or something like that. They have enough trouble keeping track of me down there. So I do them a favor. I stay in the room. I say, what time are you going to be back? And when we come back, I'll explain to you when we come back. But now here's another group that came with us that, you know, you get people and you're just like, I love these people. This Luis Gomez was born in El Salvador, so he's fluent Spanish speaker. His wife, Melissa, is from Vermont. She went to nursing school in North Carolina. He was working as a pizza chef. She worked in a restaurant. He spoke no English. She didn't speak any Spanish, but somehow they clicked together. But she's now, they're married, and great believers. She's a certified medical translator in Spanish. So it was wonderful to have her there in the triage, that she could take care of the patients with no translator. Just a wonderful lady. And they brought their daughter, Rose. They have three children. Rose is their oldest. She could translate. She did all kinds of things. Just a wonderful, I just enjoyed her company. Just a sweet lady, a sweet young lady. And so just wonderful couple. We hope, Melissa, we'll hope to have her again. She came because Mary is her hygienist and kept telling her about what we do. And Mary kind of talked them into coming. So, and that was it was their first experience. And so that's how our team kind of got big. Mary invited people along. And then here we are, Lori Cross. Interesting story about Lori. I got to watch my time here. I got 20 minutes. Okay. Lori, I don't want to say she's old. She's older. She's not a kid. She's not like Tracy's young, right? Now Tracy's a young nurse. This woman didn't go into nursing. Tracy went to nursing right after Fellowship Christian Academy. She went to school, studied nursing. Well, this couple here didn't do that. They happened to come across Dr. Mitchell speaking about our work. And she was not a nurse, but she said, "That's what I want to do with my life." And she went to nursing school specifically to go on missions trips. And she went on the Ghana team in January. She worked with side-by-side with Tracy, and she's sold on it. She's hooked. And she said, "I have to go on the next trip." And she brought her husband, Dave, with her. Now, Dave, they don't speak Spanish. Dave is not a medical person, but they wanted to see if he could experience what it's like as well. So they brought them along. So that's how a team got to be so big. But it was such a blessing. We had such a really, really great team. Now, just getting to what we do when we get down, we usually fly on a Saturday. You leave early in the morning, and it's late at night. You're dragging by the time you finally get into bed at night because it's 3-hour time change, and you know. But the next day, we end up get a good night's sleep. We go to the church service. We in a Spanish-speaking church, and wonderful church. If they were speaking the same language as us, you'd think you were here. The music is like ours. The preaching is like ours. The fellowship is like ours. It is just, they're just, just good music, good preaching, down to earth, love the Lord type people, good church. And you can see it's kind of an industrial building they built. When we first went out there, it was a dirt floor. We did dental work in there in the dirt floor. And now it's cemented. And every time we go down, the church has come a little bit further apart. It's a growing, growing work as well. Okay, let's see the next one here. Now, somewhere after church, we usually go out, we went out for tacos or something for lunch after that. We have to get to the institute because we store material down there. We have all our medical and dental equipment down there. It's hard to get it into the country without having to pay duties or something like that. So over the time, we built up dental compressors and instruments and so forth right there in the city. We go get it. We have to set all the equipment up. Somewhere in between there, some people can get up and visit that little place in the middle of the city and get a view of the city. That's the last time we have any time to do anything recreational. From that on, we work. When they come back, we do something we call the annual pill party. And what we mean by that is they get their medications in bulk. But they can't give, you just can't take a handful and give them to somebody when they come into the pharmacy. So what they do is they'll have, you know, put 10 pills in this bag or 20 pills in that bag. And you all sit around the tables like this here and just plastic knives and you know, a plate. And you're sorting out 20 pills, sliding into the bag. And that's what we do. It's a lot of fun to do it. You're talking to each other. Well, you can't talk too much while you're counting, but it seems like we do too. I try to tell jokes, but it seems to interrupt stuff. But as well. So, but it is just a blessing to be with these teams, by the way. I have gone so many times. People say, are you getting nervous about going to Mexico? No, it's like going to grandma's house to me. I've done it so many. It's like I've been there. It's like, you know, I'm right at home in that city. I've been there so many times. This is a picture from last year because I didn't have a good one for this year. But just to give you an idea of what we do every day, we get up early in the morning. The restaurant doesn't open till like 7, but they let us in there like, the lights aren't on, and we just go in. There's a bunch of tables on the end. And people do devotions in there, and they'll put coffee out for us. And I think I've never beaten Mary down there. If I go down, anytime I go down, Mary's already down there. So she's down there having a cup of coffee. But it gives you a chance, like with different time zones at home, they have internet, so you can call home or, you know, email home, check your email, check how your family's doing. Then we have the fellowship around the table. By 6:30, everybody needs to be there. Every morning, we have a devotional together. It's just a privilege. I often will have the privilege of giving a devotional several times during the week. We pray together, find out what we need to, what's going on, what's going back home, who can we pray for at home, you know, that's sick or something like that, what needs are. Stephen Case got an offer on his house while he was down there, like above his asking price. He was selling a house. And so we rejoice at each other in the tables. And so we get there. Then you have to get a quick breakfast, get up your room, grab your last things, brush your teeth the last time, back down, and then you're into the van. By 7:30, you're on the road out into, and this is the picture here, is already out of the city. You have to go through the bumpy roads of the city and the dust and the traffic lights and the buses and the dogs running across the street and all that. And you get out to, but here's is on our way out, going out to a place called Pescada. We're on the road, and you see here getting out into the farm country, and that all the side there is vineyards. That's all out there. It's all farm country out there. That's why we're out here, because it is a place a lot of migrant workers live out in that area on a rotating basis, depending upon what the farms need done at that time. But there's miles and miles and miles of these grapes. And here's a Google Earth is just amazing. You can go into Google Maps, and I clipped this off of Google. You see those squares there, those rectangles? You know what those rectangles are? Anybody guess what those might be?
Crops.
They are actually the vineyards. Here's a blown up section of the same thing. They are the vineyards. They're rows and rows and rows of grapes, and that's what there's miles of grapes down there as well. But you can see the picture of the city, how it's like dusty, and it's not like if you go to Vermont. I heard somebody recently say, "Well, go up to Vermont. It's nice up in Vermont, right? It's beautiful. We live in a green area. There's almost no green down there." Excuse me, I'm losing my voice already. I knew this might happen, so I'll try to talk a little softer. But that's what the village looks like when we get out there. It's kind of it's just out in the middle of this desert area where they've got the farms and stuff. They've got a village, and it's a really what do I want to say? It's a poor area. It's nothing we would expect to find in. You know, a suburb of Boston or something like that. It's dusty, dirt roads, cement block houses, maybe tar paper, maybe cardboard, depending on where they are. Now, in there we have the church property. In this middle of the village, they have a church and a building, and I'll just switch over here. If looking from the back lot back out again, you can see that building in the back there. It's just a row of like classrooms, and so we're able to set up a dental, a pharmacy, and the medical clinic. Over here, there's somebody over here in the almost to the street side, to the far right of your screen. There, there's somebody and a couple of people in blue there. That's kind of my office out there. They'll take a trunk from the supplies, and I'll grab it and I'll use that as my desk, and I set up my tickets and my supplies for that as well. So I can get the people flowing as patients here. This is again a look at the church from the north, from the area. Now I don't know. I do have a laser pointer here, but I don't know if I can see a laser pointer. I can't figure it out here. Oh, there you go. This is the That's the church building. That's the Sunday school building, and there's a dirt place in between. That's where we do our. That's where I work. And this is the street, and the underneath this tree. That's reception. That's where they have the office. You come and want to register for the clinics. I'll show you that in a second if I get the right picture here. That is that tree I just showed you from the air. There's girls sitting at a table under the tree. People come in to the clinic. They'll go to see these young ladies. They will give them a form. Now, I've already worked out with the physicians and those in charge of how many patients we can see today. I make out tickets so I know how many we can see. They will fill out a form, give the person a ticket, put that ticket number on the form, and let me move it down to the next one here. And this is what the forms look like. So once a person comes in, they're registered, we know what we want them for. Before they can come to any of the clinics to be treated, they go through a one-on-one evangelism. And that's the point of them coming. So they get the ticket, the evangelist gets the form. The form needs to come to me, but I don't want them until they've been evangelized. And once they come to me, they've at least been given the gospel. If they're already a believer, that's a different story. Occasionally I'll have people come through the believers, but so they'll come to me. That's why you saw me standing there with papers in my hand. My job is to keep track of what space is available in the clinic, who's waiting. And interesting, I don't think, maybe you can read it from there, but I can't. If you look under the address of that, I can't read it from here. But usually, like, I live at Cross Street, and I put 69 Cross Street, Methuen, Massachusetts, my address. That really is my address. But they don't do that. I mean, it's like, because they don't have addresses there. It's like, they live in the house beside the store next to the stream. I think that one's it's Arroyo. So Luisa's store or something. And I live in the. They rent rooms. They're all, some of these are only migrant workers, and they come and they get a room for a little while. So when the evangelists go out later to follow up with them, they're looking for Luisa's store. Where's the stream? And it's the room somewhere behind there. And I took a picture of that form just for that, as you know that as well. Now, just so you know how we do it quickly before I'll get carried away here, I'll be burning up all my time here. It's already 52. My clock's working. That's good. I can see that one. We have evangelism here, triage. They come in, get treated. This is what Tracy would do anytime she's on the field. Here we have, this is Lori. Gloria is doing the translating there. They go to triage. From there, once they have triage, they go to, they'll see the doctor. This is Dr. Chuck in the back there. Steve is set up in the lab. He did all the lab work, checking their sugar levels and so forth. I don't know why Jared is sitting in there at the time, but the woman sitting there with the white sweater on, Lupita, she is a wonderful Christian lady down there, speaks English and Spanish. Knows all the medical terms. But Chuck says, I want her. Because she's really good at the translating for him. And she's just a wonderful lady. She comes over. I'm up there standing in the sun. Sit down over there. I want you to sit down. You know, she's always keeping track of me. Just that another wonderful Christian lady there as well. And then as well, we have Beverly. Herbert would be in the next room anytime they want to give him vitamins or antibiotics or anything like that. She would issue them, and then somebody would translate and tell them how to take the medication. And Mary, she has her captives in the chair. She's right now, while she's doing that work, she's talking. Her translator is saying something to that person. She's never quiet. She's always going. She's like I am. She's talking all the time, wanting people to come to Christ. And if there's believers down there, she wants to help them. She's got time in between patients. She'll clean teeth of some of the younger people who are working on it. She just wants to help people. Just a wonderful, wonderful testimony. And but this is all done. Why do we go for the evangelism? And you notice here, this is, I think, Pastor Alvarez here speaking across the table with somebody one-on-one. And this is going on all day. Is somebody else doing that? Anytime you look around, when I'm working, I'm outside all day. Some people are working indoors and doing their care. I'm outside looking at the patients who's available for triage and so forth. So I don't see what's going on inside. But outside, this evangelism is going on all the time. There's always, and even if everybody has been evangelized, somebody's going over and talking to somebody again, follow up, encouraging. We see these people just giving the gospel all day long. During the week, back here at home, we have a men's fellowship on Zoom. Mike Vetter is doing a Bible study in the book of James right now. And we're looking at James chapter 2 and talking about don't have respect of persons, you know. Christ died on the cross for everyone. I don't care who you are, what you look like, where you're from, Christ died for you. And God's not willing that any of these should perish. And I clipped a whole bunch of faces of some of the pictures we took down there. This man, I said, ¿puede sacar su foto? And he said, okay. He's like, can I take your picture? And he said, okay. And I took his picture. I thought that was a nice picture. I thought to give you an idea. Here's somebody. This is probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon when this picture was taken. But he was probably up at 4 and going out there in the fields before the sun gets too hot. It's really kind of cold in the morning down there, the desert, the radiation cooling. It can be 40 degrees in the morning, yet by the time he was at the clinic, it was probably 85. And so he's out there, heat of the day out there in the fields and as well. But God, Christ died for him. Christ died for these folks as well, young, old. I don't care where you're from, what you did. Christ died for you that you can have eternal life. And that's why we give the gospel as well. And here's some more faces as well, young, old, men, women. We give the gospel to them. There's a picture down on the lower right there. Mary, again, cleaned somebody's teeth, and she got somebody smiling. This person was, I think, probably one of the church people, but Mary encourages them as well, you know. And so it's just a wonderful experience to work with these people down there one-on-one, to talk to these people. And I used to just call, like, you know, numero siete, por favor, limpieza. I try to do the number. I can speak enough Spanish to do it, but now I've been trying to do their names. I try to call them by name. Now, sometimes I will call somebody like, you know, I'll just call somebody's name. I'll say it. It'll sound like it's right, and no one moves. One of the people who speaks, you know, from the church will come over and say it. It sounds exactly the same as I say it. I don't know what it is, but I just don't have, because I'm talking with a Boston accent, you know. So Spanish with a Boston accent. Yeah, I want some water. Come on. Okay, yeah. So anyway, we go down there to give the gospel. All these people I've shown you here, Christ died for them all, right? And that's why we go, that these people will hear the gospel. And we work with these churches because we want to see churches planted. And that's what we're doing, to see churches planted. I mentioned Adam Polk. He recently got married. Next year, we hope to work down in a place called Montezuma. I don't know if that's spelled to say it was a Montezuma's Revenge or not, but it's not that city, but it's northeast, 3-hour drive from Hermosillo. So next year we probably won't get the nice hotel that we have, because we're going to be in a much more rustic area. And so that's our plan next year if things come to pass. They want to go out and plant a church there, and this will be really church planting, because he won't have a church established yet. And this is when this dental and medical ministry is really helpful. You find a place, if they don't have a building rented yet, you find a park or a school that you can work in the city, invite people out. They come out and they'll fill out those forms. They get their addresses or by the stream that they live by, and they follow up later. And they will go and have Bible studies with these people and follow up, and that's how they plant their churches. And we've seen it done several times down there over the 20 years we've been going down there. We've helped these people. We kind of like the pizzazz to bring people out of the woodwork to come, but they don't waste what we do. That's why we like them. We go down, we work hard, we spend money to go down there, but they take those contacts and they work them and they give them the gospel. People get saved. Matter of fact, Brian Bell had a little video that Adam sent him of somebody. I asked him to send it to me, but I didn't get it. A man who got saved in Pescada was at the church in Batania giving a testimony that he of salvation in Christ. And it's only been like 3-4 weeks since we've been down there. Here's a man saying, I got saved at the clinic, and given his testimony to it. And same time, he had several that came from Ghana, the ministry that Tracy went on in January. They're still getting people who made professions of faith and getting saved from the work they did in Ghana in January. So it's just a privilege to represent Salem Bible Church in these ministries. And just to let you know what the things that's coming up, that you can be praying for this work. This work isn't just Mexico. I do mostly Mexico. I've been a few other places, but there's a survey team going to Bolivia in June. Tracy is taking a group to Lebanon in August. We have our regular the Philippine Island Ministry. We usually have that in March, May, but COVID has really messed us up there. As far as you know, if you go there, you're supposed to have a 2-week quarantine, and then you can spend a few days, and then you have a 2-week quarantine before you leave, or something like that. It made it impossible to be in the Philippines. But they hope to go back in November, and there'll be a repeat Ghana ministry coming up in January of 2023. So. Again, I put Salem Bible Church in this verse we all know from Matthew chapter 28, that God tells us to go into the world. And Salem Bible Church, I have gone on your behalf. You have praised me. You helped support. It's our work there. God is sending Tracy out. We have Dr. Steve and Katrina and others who have worked in missions from Salem Bible Church. It's just a privilege to be involved in that. And so I guess I'm after 7 o'clock. I can't believe I'm like Pastor Lanny. I'm going over. So, all right, I'll stop there. And unless anybody have any quick questions or anything, I just a couple moments. I don't want to take too long here. But anybody have any questions? Now, if you have a question, you speak right up and say it. Don't raise your hand because I can't see you. All right. Any questions? All right, don't hear anything. Do I close in prayer or somebody else? Maybe Scott. Scott, why don't you close in prayer? You're here, right, somewhere? Scott, you close in prayer for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we could spend this time together reflecting on the work that's been done to the gospel of salvation, preaching to people, and to help these local churches be started. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given Ray and Grace Dental Mission to do these trips year after year. Thank you for fellow believers down there in Mexico who are living for you and desire to reach out to their community. Thank you for the Bible school and seminary down there, their desire to train young men to be pastors and teachers and leaders in churches round about. Lord, we know that you are Lord of the harvest, and you are working in these places to call men and women to yourself. Thank you for the chance to share in this time tonight. We pray that those plans go forward for these future trips, that you would be working and giving wisdom and believing that your work will be done in your way. And we give you glory for those who are saved. We praise you for our salvation. We look forward to someday in heaven being together with all these fellow believers from around the world and rejoicing in the work that we've done. Thank you for this time together. We pray for your blessing as we go our separate ways when we get there. Pray that in Jesus' name.
Jeff, do we know the song? Or are we done?
Yes.
Okay, Jeff's going to take over. I'm done.